leave with those cookies. I don't know. It's always good to be here with you at Vercells. And before I share with you the Word of God, I want to remind you that this coming Saturday, November the 1st, at Indian Creek Baptist Camp outside of Bedford. Have any of you been to Indian Creek Baptist Camp outside of Bedford? Oh my goodness. Well, we've got Southeastern Baptist Youth Camp in our backyard, but Indian Creek Baptist Camp is owned and operated by American Baptist Churches of Indiana and Kentucky. This Saturday at noon, beginning at noon, there will be lunch. We'll get to tour the facilities, and then we'll have a time of fellowship and worship at the camp. So please, if you're not busy this Saturday, come on over to Indian Creek Baptist Camp near Bedford. Also, I'm leaving with you some brochures that tell about our ministry together as American Baptist Churches of Indiana and Kentucky. They're back there on the table in the back. And if you are really, really interested, how many of you use the internet on a regular basis? All right. Well, go to abc-indiana.org and you'll find our website there. It's updated twice a month. You'll find out lots of things that are going on that you would be welcome to be part of. I know that it's not always easy to keep up with what's going on, especially if there are 275 American Baptist churches in Indiana and Kentucky. There's always something going on, but it's hard to know when and where. So we're trying to do a better job of keeping our website updated and keeping everybody informed as best we can. So thank you. And it is really, really good to be here once again. I cannot come here without thinking about my dear mother-in-law, Leola, and father-in-law, Bob. And about this time of year, many of the snowbirds begin to migrate south. And Bob and Lee were definitely birds, snowbirds. And they would make their trek from here down to Florida. And a lot of people today, I don't blame them. I tell you what, I don't blame them. I think it's great to go south for the winter. Did you hear about the man who was stranded on a deserted island? He was completely alone. For a couple of years, he struggled to survive until one day, 2 years later, he flagged down a passing ship, and they came to his rescue. He jumped with excitement as the rescue boat arrived, and as they debarked and came towards him, the sailor's first question was, "Sir, are you alone? Where is everyone else?" "What do you mean, everyone else?" replied the man. "Well," one of the sailors said, "that hut. There's three huts, and there's only one person. Why? There's got to be more than one person with all these buildings." "Well," the man said, "let me tell you. That hut over there is where I stay when it rains, and it does rain on the island. It keeps all my stuff dry. The second hut over here, that's my church." And the sailors asked, "Well, what's the third hut?" "Oh," the stranded man whispered, "that's the church where I used to go." Oh. I run into a lot of folks who used to go there. You and I, as Christians, people who follow and try to imitate Jesus Christ, are called to a better way of living. We're called to be part of God's family. People known as the called out ones. The ecclesia is what the Greek term is, called out ones. We must be different from the world around us. We should stand out in good ways, but not always popular ways. And we must be recognizable to folks who are not familiar with Jesus and his ways. Oh, how sweet it is to be around people who are like Jesus. if you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're just going to read verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, to the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given you in Christ Jesus. Paul calls out the church in Corinth to be different. And I believe he calls us to be different. Paul addresses them in chapter 1 of verse 2 as the church of God, which is at Corinth. If Paul were writing us a letter today, he would say the church at Versailles, the church of God at Versailles. It means a lot different things now in 2025 than it did when Paul was writing to the Corinthians. The word that Paul used, ekklesia, could have meant any assembly, is basically what the word means, ekklesia. There was not the same connotation to the word ekklesia, church, as we would have it today. The first century ekklesia simply meant people who were gathered. And it didn't designate a particular kind of gathering. Paul wrote as he did in 1 Corinthians 1 so that the Corinthian Christians would know that they were uniquely the ecclesia of God, the called out ones, those who were called by God. Look to the person on your left and say, you are called out by God. You are called out by God. It's okay to talk. You are called out by God. And I want you to know, and I want you to be encouraged, that you are different because you are called out by God. And Paul wanted the Christians in Corinth to know that they were a gathering that had been founded by God. Versailles Baptist Church, founded by God. Like the Corinthian Christians, Christians in Versailles in Ripley County, Indiana, are called to be different from other organizations. The principles that applied to Christian thought and conduct in Corinth apply to Christian thought and conduct in Versailles. The church at Versailles is not a beautification council, nor simply a group of trustees who are assigned to manage the endowment that preserves this building on this piece of land. But we know that there are good things and we have to take care of these good things. We know that this is a beautiful place and that this place has served Versailles very well. And we're to utilize the financial gifts that God gives us with utmost respect. Paul is not writing to all the people in Corinth. No, he's just writing to the church of God at Corinth. They're unique, the called out ones. They are called out of the world while they're still living in the world. And they're called out in order to be a witness for the world. And you and I are called to be a different kind of gathering. Though we do take pride in Versailles, and we do take pride in the people that we know and love. But we are an assembly of God, a church of God, as Paul says. And we should stand out as unique, set apart from the rest of the world. Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, who were Christians, because he was a little bit disappointed with them. I think he was probably a little bit more than a little disappointed. This church in Corinth was a heartache for Paul. A heartache for Paul. He says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, "So brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ." Those are hard words. Hard words to hear, hard words to say. Paul had labored with the church in Corinth for over a year and a half. He was right there with them, elbow to elbow. What was happening in Corinth as time went on? The congregation was having a decreasing influence over the community because it was allowing the general community to have too much influence over the congregation. Listen, it is possible to have a living church of God. We read about it here in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. An assembly of the called out ones, even in a city like Corinth. I don't know. I think I would think that Corinth is a lot like Las Vegas today. Sin City. You know what I'm saying? But it's possible for the church to be in Sin City and to make an impact. Is Versailles anything like Corinth? Tell me the truth. You don't have to tell me now. We can talk later. But you know what? Versailles is where God wants you to be the people of God. You know, Versailles is a place where the salt of the earth and the light of the world has the greatest effect. Be the salt of the earth. Be the light of the world. Something we cannot look over here is that Paul was not concerned with the building in which the ecclesia met in Corinth. You read nothing about the building of the Church of God in Corinth. I could not begin to tell you the first thing about it. You know, this building is not really the Baptist Church, Versailles Baptist Church. It's not. The building is not the church. The people, you are Versailles Baptist Church. And man, I love you. God's people are the church. However, we as God's people have got to get through our minds that it's not about spending money on the building more than we spend on any other project that we do. Debbie and I are empty nesters now. And so I have plenty of time to get into things that I probably have no business messing with in our house. And I was in our basement the other day and I was replacing the filter in our HVAC, and I noticed mold. In Sunman, it's flat, there's a lot of clay soil. We have a lot of floods in Sunman. I don't know if it's that way here. There's a few more hills here in Versailles. So Debbie and I took a trip to Home Depot, one of my favorite places. And it happened on the day that we walked in the front door, there was somebody standing out front from a respectable heating and air conditioning contracting company. And they said, for $25, we'll come and inspect your entire HVAC system. I said, come on, I'll meet you there. Now we've lived in this house for 11 years with no problems. But we have had some flooding in our basement. We've cleaned it out and hit it with bleach and tried to tried to make sure that everything is clean. But the young man came and he used the tools of the trade, and he said, "You've got some mold, and we can clean that up for $2,000. Yeah, that's what I said. What? $2,000? I am currently trying to find ways to, it's not a lot of mold, but it's mold, and it shouldn't be there, and I'm going to get rid of it." Paul was concerned, but he wasn't concerned with the building of the church in Corinth. Paul was concerned with the group of Christians who were living in Corinth and were being contaminated by the sinful environment of Corinth. Notice in all of Paul's writings to the Corinthian church or any church in which Paul labored, he never refers to that church as my church. Paul never says it. Paul never says it's my church in Corinth, my church in Ephesus. No, it is always the church of God in Corinth, the church of God in Ephesus. As the church of God in Versailles, we will treat it as God's property and not ours, correct? The local body of believers who worship God together at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning is, listen, you're God's unit for transformation in Versailles. I wish I had business cards to give to each of you to say, I am a member of God's unit for transformation in Versailles. Look, you don't have to change clothes. You don't have to put on different shoes. You don't have to comb your hair if you have any. You just have to be open to be a unit of transformation. Man, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but we in America need some transformation, don't we? We need formation. And transformation comes only through the Spirit of God. Never think of Versailles Baptist Church as small or insignificant. It's the very unit that God may use to preserve this entire community. Listen, God has a plan. God is working day in and day out to transform every community. You and I might consider how awful a place like Corinth must have been to live. I wouldn't have wanted to live there. Imagine what it would have been like without the church of God in Corinth. Imagine what Versailles would be like without Versailles Baptist Church. Imperfect, certainly. Yeah, the church, we could do a lot of things, but the church is necessary for survival of Christians and for evangelizing new Christians. No other group of people other than the Church of God in Versailles is going to do that. I'm urging you this morning to support Versailles Baptist Church. Be glad that you are part of Versailles Baptist Church. I'm asking you to work for her perfection through allowing God to work in you as you grow toward perfection in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, Paul says, to them who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be what? Saints. Look at the person on your right and say, hello, saint. Hi, saint. You are a saint. The church is made up of saints. That word saints is actually sanctified ones. Sanctified ones. People who are sanctified. Not a building that's set apart for worship. Sanctified, the word hagiazo means holy one. The basic meaning of the word is to separate, right? Set aside, set apart. When we say the name of God is holy, we mean that the name of God stands apart from all other names. But a person is holy when he or she is separated from the spirit of worldliness and is set apart for use by God. You are set apart for use by God. God intends to use you. That's good news. How many of you? Now, my wife is not here, and I can say this boldly, but if she were here, I wouldn't say it so boldly. How many of you have ever sat through an amazing English class? Any English teachers here? Yeah, that's what I thought. I was kind of. I'm gonna be good here. I love English, by the way. But here's an amazing Greek lesson for you this morning. There are two Greek words that can be translated holy, sacred. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, the word is hagios. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul uses the word that we translate as holy, hieros. And in 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul says, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the holy writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Paul is talking about holy scripture, the writings. So there's a difference between hagios, whom we are hagios, and then hieros, which is sacred. It's a place or a thing. The New Testament calls things hieros, holy, which is spotlessly clean, like the scripture. The scripture is spotless, clean. Hagios. Listen, you are hagios, and that is somebody that is now offered to God, regardless of what may have been your nature or your past history. That is what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 2. You are hagios, you are holy, regardless of what may have been your nature or past history. That's the church, folks. That's us. We are hagios. We are holy because of what? Well, we've seen. We've been sanctified, set apart by Christ. We have been sanctified. We have been set apart by Christ. When we call on him to set us apart, and when we follow him, we've been snatched away from sin. We've been purified. How good does it feel to be purified? Only God, through Jesus, can purify you. It has nothing to do with what you've done. The whole process of sanctification. Let me repeat that. It has nothing to do with what you have done. A certain act has been completed in the past, the result of which continues forever. We cannot sanctify ourselves. We cannot make ourselves holy. But boy, we sure do try. Remember the man who was stranded on the deserted island that I talked about earlier? He couldn't sanctify himself. He couldn't set himself apart by going to another church, could he? He was still the same guy. At a specific moment in my life, the Lord Jesus Christ set me apart. And in your life, a specific time, the Lord Jesus Christ set you apart, called you out to be holy. Not only did he call you out, he purified you. And he set you apart for his work. How glad I am that our perfection is in Christ. He made sure that no one could take that away. And he made sure that I couldn't give it away or sell it. Christ alone is our salvation. Let's pray. Today, Lord, we are grateful that you have set us apart. You have called us out. Not because of anything we've done, not because of anything we have or can offer. It's all because of what you have done. You, the only one who has no sin, no imperfections. Lord God, you have called us out and made us holy through your love and your kindness. And God, you set us apart. You didn't just call us, make us holy, and then set us on the trophy shelf to look at, but you set us apart for a work. You set us apart for a job. You've given us callings. You've given us gifts to utilize so that others may come into this holiness of God. Lord, I am so grateful for Versailles Baptist Church and for the saints who are here and for the saints who have been here and for the saints who are to come. Lord, we pray that through your mercy and your wisdom, you guide us into the future. Allow us to live the set apart life. It may not make everybody happy, but it makes you happy. And that's what we want. We want to make you happy, God. Today, Lord, I ask for your presence with Pastor Mike as he heals. I ask for your presence in the life of each person here today. If they didn't know they were holy, that they were called out, they do now. And Lord, I ask for strength as they follow you this day forward. Through Christ, amen.